950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Matt McNeil still on vacation, so you're stuck with more substitute hosts. You've got Brett Johnson and Hunter Haas filling in for your Wednesday. Hunter, how's it going today?
Good. It's a great day. It's sunny, great weather.
Yeah, very gloomy yesterday, but we got some nice sunny weather outside, so that's certainly always a good thing. Hard to believe that the state fair is starting. Isn't it tomorrow already?
Tomorrow, yep.
That means we're at the end of summer. Feels like summer just started like last week or something like that. That's kind of depressing, but also kind of fun that the state fair is starting up.
The thing is, too, fall weather is beautiful.
You're a fan of that fall weather?
Yeah, I like the cool, and we have that for several more months, so it's not like we're going straight into winter.
Yeah, that's always the stereotype we get about Minnesota, is that once summer is over, we go straight into winter. But no, we have some beautiful fall weather, September, October, sometimes even into November. We kind of get that Indian summer usually about late September, early October, where we get a few more 70 and 80 degree days. And those are the best times to bike for me, at least.
Yeah.
I get to go outside, bike in nice weather, and there's no mosquitoes, most importantly. That's the worst part of summer, is when I bike usually out by dusk, I get all sorts of mosquitoes going after me. That's never fun, and gnats and those guys.
Yeah. Speaking of biking, I signed up for a 48-mile bike marathon.
48 miles? Yeah. Wow. Where's that biking from and then to?
It's all around the Mississippi, starting in St. Paul. I believe most of it's in St. Paul.
Oh, so are you kind of doing that Three Rivers Park? I'm trying to think of that national route that they have.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know exactly which one you're talking about. That's a fun route to go on.
But I got in shape when my car was out, and I started biking here.
Yeah, you had some car trouble for a while. Yeah, you biked here a couple times.
Yeah.
You have a much longer commute here to the station than me.
Yep.
I'm only about 10, maybe 11 miles, depending on what route I'm at. You're like, what, 17, 18 miles?
Yeah. In Chaska.
Yeah, and you probably don't have as nice of bike trails to go on as I do.
I do, but they were flooded most of the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a problem, man.
Yeah, so there was an even longer route. I don't even know exactly how long it was.
Yeah, I'm up in Minnetonka, kind of that Plymouth area, but I got a straight shoot pretty much down 494, then Shady Oak Road, all along trail. Super nice. I can, in the morning, I can pull it off like in 45, 50 minutes just because I'm mostly going downhill.
Mm-hmm.
At night, I go a little slower because I'm going uphill and I'm kind of messing around a little bit more, you know. But it's kind of nice to. We have a lot of great trails here in Minnesota. I absolutely love that.
And yeah, for sure.
We have some nice ones out in Chaska as well.
Mm-hmm. And they all connect. You can get anywhere in the metro. If you're willing to do a long ride, you can pretty much get wherever you want.
Exactly. Yeah, there's some great ones, especially down by the river. When you go down that Highway 41 bridge, there's a great trail that actually runs just south of the Minnesota River. Except it's probably flooded now. If we get like any bit of rain, that trail gets flooded for like 3 months. So
that's exactly where I live, is the Highway 41 bridge,
you know,
and that was what flooded.
Yeah, that's a really fun trail to go on. Just like if we get like a quarter inch of rain, I swear that thing gets flooded for like 2 months. So that's not quite the fun part about that one. But when it's not flooded, incredibly fun trail. Yeah, it starts at Highway 41, goes all the way over close to, I think, Valley Fair. So check that one out if you're in the area. Down in that Shakopee place. That's a fun trail to go on. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We are a political talk show, so I suppose we should talk some politics at some point here in the future. That's kind of the name of the game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Again, it is Brett and Hunter filling in for Matt McNeil. Matt is out on assignment at an undisclosed location. We will not say where. It could be right here in Minneapolis. It could be in Alaska. It could be in Russia. Maybe we have him tracking down some information about Putin over there in Russia with his connections to Donald Trump, maybe investigating Paul Manafort. We'll just say Matt McNeil is out on assignment. We don't know exactly what he's doing, but he's having a good time, I'm thinking, and he's getting some nice weather, getting some times with the kids as well, which is always good.
Yeah, I'm sure he's enjoying himself.
There is a chance. We were going to do this today. Matt was supposed to call into this show. Then that bum texted me last night and said he's going, well, I can't say where he was going because then I give away where he is, but he has another activity that he thought was more important than calling into his own radio show.
His own show.
Yeah, this is his own show, and he decided not to call in. That was the plan. Matt McNeil was supposed to call into his show today when we're filling in, and he texted me last night, and he had a more fun activity that he was going to participate in, so
The joke's on him because now his show is in our hands.
That's right. Yeah, we don't even play his music, just like yesterday when we had Robert Pilot filling
in. I noticed that, Bob Marley song.
Yeah, we had the Bob Marley song going. We had the I'm Awake music. So If you snooze, you lose. If you don't host your own show, we take over and we play our own music just like you did today. So that's what you get, Matt McNeil. By the way, he is coming back coming up next Wednesday. So you got one more week of myself. Hunter Haas is filling in, I think, next Tuesday. Got a great treat for you coming up next Thursday, or actually tomorrow, I should say. That's not next Thursday. That's literally tomorrow. Ellie Krug coming in to fill in. It's always fun to have Ellie in on the weekdays. She does a great Monday morning show called Ellie 2.0 Radio, talking about her issues being an idealist in a world that's not quite conducive to being an idealist. But check that show out. It's Monday mornings at 7 a.m. She, of course, used to do Hidden Edges Radio. Unfortunately, doesn't do that one anymore. Just got to be too much time. I mean, she's a full-time speaker, and she was hosting two radio shows. That is a lot of work. So she decided to kind of pare that down, just do Ellie 2.0, which we're thrilled about now that that's expanded to 1 hour. And we occasionally get her to fill in on the weekdays, as she'll be in coming up tomorrow during Matt McNeil's show from 3 until 4 p.m. Then you got myself again from 3 until 4 p.m. on Friday. Monday, I'm also doing Matt's show. You get a triple dose of me. Then Hunter gets to cap things off on Matt's last vacation day from 3 until 4 o'clock on Tuesday. And we also get a little bonus of Hunter. You're in tomorrow from 4 until 5 o'clock, aren't you?
Yeah, and we got some exciting guests for tomorrow.
Do we want to promo who those guests are?
Yeah, sure. We have Matt Chrisman of the Chapo Trap House podcast, which they are a left-wing podcast. They're the number one Patreon. They have about $100,000 a month donated to them for premium content. Yeah, they're a huge deal. And then Dean Phillips is the other guest.
Yeah, Dean Phillips will be exciting to get here on AM 950 after his debate with Eric Paulson yesterday, which so far, unfortunately, is the only scheduled debate between Phillips and Paulson. Yeah, Eric Paulson, every year, he just does one debate every year he runs for re-election. It's the same one every single election cycle, where he goes to the Twin West Chamber of Commerce. He goes to a nice hotel room in St. Louis Park. And, of course, you have to pay $60 to get into this debate. You get a nice lunch, I guess, which is kind of nice, but $60 is the cost of democracy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, Hunter, but there was a Twin Cities businessman, and his name is on the tip of my tongue, but he actually saw this and was infuriated by the fact that you had to pay $60 to get into this debate yesterday. So he actually spent $3,600 and bought 60 tickets himself, announced it on Twitter, and he gave away to constituents first come, first serve.
Yep, he gave one to my friend Judy, who runs our Chaska Indivisible group.
Oh, that's very cool. Yep, so she got one of those. Yeah, I could kind of tell, too, when I was listening to that debate yesterday, there were actually quite a bit of cheers for Dean Phillips, which I wasn't expecting, being a Twin West event. I thought there would be a lot of business people who were supportive of Eric Paulson, but I could definitely tell that giving away those 60 tickets certainly had an impact on that debate.
For sure.
Yeah, so fortunately, he was able to buy up those tickets and at least get some Phillips supporters into that debate. Before we get into some other topics, I just want to talk a little bit more about that Eric Paulson-Dean Phillips debate, because I've been listening back to that debate and reading about it and going back on the transcript. And there are a couple things that kind of, I can't say caught my eye, I guess they caught my ear, that I want to highlight before we get into some other topics. And the big one is this, is that one of the things that Dean Phillips was going after Eric Paulson about was that Eric Paulson votes with Donald Trump 96, 97, 98% of the time, either way in the high 90s. And the counter argument that Eric Paulson had was that 70% of those 98% of votes that he had with Donald Trump, so if you just do an even 100, he says 70 of those 100 votes, for instance, were on bipartisan procedural bills, where they had Democrats, of course, also voting on those bills. So I went out and I pulled out my calculator. I'm a former accountant, so I like to think I'm pretty good at math. And I thought, that's still not a very good stat for you, Eric Paulson, in terms of trying to say that you're independent of Donald Trump. So again, Paulson says 70% of his votes are just procedural bipartisan votes. So I thought, all right, Eric Paulson, let's take you at your word and let's discount and eliminate those 70% of those votes. I did the math. If you take out those 70% of votes, he still ends up voting with Donald Trump a little over 93% of the time. Good job, Eric. You went from voting with him 98% of the time to just 93% of the time. In fact, let's actually play that clip of Eric Paulson try to defend himself, saying that he only votes with Trump. Well, not as much as he says. Let's go ahead and play that here on AM 950.
The 97% figure, let's just break it down. 70% of those bills that passed and were signed by the president were bipartisan, that had a bipartisan Democrat and a Republican co-author. In fact, that's the highest record in 20 years. 20 years, which is pretty impressive. And by the way, of that 70%, Senator Klobuchar, a Democrat, voted 91%.
Congressman Paulson talks a lot about Jim Ramstad. He borrowed his colors. He worked for him. But I know Jim Ramstad, and you're no Jim Ramstad. And Jim Ramstad, during his tenure in Congress, had about a 70% score voting with his own party. That's thoughtfulness.
Yeah, so Eric Paulson trying to again portray himself as that independent. And how do you like that line there? You're no Jim Ramstad, Eric Paulson.
That's a throwback to the Dan Quayle vice presidential debate.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of. Yeah,
no Jack Kennedy.
You're no Jack Kennedy, if I ever heard of Jack Kennedy. Yeah, I just love that, though. If you discount those 70% of votes, which I'm not even sure if he's right on that figure, or the fact that he says he's in the top 10% of Republicans that vote against Trump, which very well might be true, but that doesn't speak very much about Eric Paulson. That speaks more about the party itself pretty much going for Trump no matter what, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, if we discount those 70% of votes, he still votes with Donald Trump 93% of the time. Just a little bum Dean Phillips wasn't able to do the math on the fly like that. Because when I initially heard that statement, I was thinking, that still seems like an awfully high percentage of the time that he's voting with the Donald.
I'm glad you caught that, because 70% sounds like it would be a lot lower.
Yeah.
Like, you caught it and did the math, and like, nah, that doesn't sound right to me. But yes, it does work out that way. It's a good catch by you.
Yeah, and if you just want to take the simple math to figure out how I got that number, let's say there was 100 votes in the House. Just make it a nice even 100 number. Well, eliminate those 70 out of those 100 votes where Eric Paulson says they were bipartisan votes. Again, I'm not sure if that's not true, but we'll take Mr. Paulson at his word. That still leaves 30 votes, which means 28 out of those 30 potential votes, he was still voting with Trump, which comes to right around 92 to 93%. So he's definitely not the independent that he portrays himself to be. Good old Eric Paulson. Gosh, I hope we defeat him this fall. He's in your district. He's in my district. He's just kind of a leech on Congress, as Matt kind of says. The albino leech, as he likes to call him.
And he's done this every year. He's up for election. He tries to run to the middle. But this year, there's been a lot more attention drawn to him, and people have been working for a long time exposing what he does and the patterns he has. And I think people are a lot more aware this time of who this guy is.
Yeah, Dean Phillips has a massive following, and I think he's by far the strongest challenger Eric Paulson has ever had in CD3. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We're going to head to break and talk more about the congressional races. We'll kind of finish up with some thoughts on that Phillips-Paulson debate, then also talk a little bit about CD1 and CD2 coming up next here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. This wicked city
will strike you down. Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. With summertime here, my family is super excited about the road trips we'll be taking in our Toyota Sienna. We're going to be putting a lot of miles in, but a Sienna is the most comfortable way to drive. Plenty of room for the five of us to stretch out and enjoy the ride, even with the dog and all of our gear tagging along. Safety and reliability are key, and Rudy Luther Toyota Siennas are the most safe, most reliable vehicles we've ever driven. Test drive one yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Stages Theater Company is dedicated to creating a space where diverse opinions, courageous dialogue, and community engagement is not only valued, but vital to our shared artistic and educational success. Stages Theater Company creates a welcoming home for all. For over 30 years, Stages has supported quality theater programming for children. Stages gives opportunities for youth to be on stage, backstage, in the audience, and in the classroom. Whether you come to see a show, enroll a young person in a workshop, or benefit from their outreach programs in the community, Stages brings art to life. Learn about Stages Theater by going to stagestheater.org and become part of the magic of live theater by taking your family to an amazing show or enrolling someone you love in an education program. Stages Theater Company operates out of the Hopkins Center for the Arts, located in Main Street in the heart of downtown Hopkins. For more information on Stages Theater, go to stagestheater.org. That's stagestheater.org.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts, Snap Construction, at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never-frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Brett Johnson and Hunter Hawes filling in for Matt McNeil on your Wednesday afternoon. One more week of substitute hosts till Matt is back in studio. He is back coming up on next Wednesday here on AM 950. Is that August 29th he's back?
Yep.
I can't read the numbers. I need my readers to be able to read those numbers on the screen to figure out the exact date it is. But man, summer is certainly passing us by quickly. So I got a little plug here for Burger Mo's. I haven't been to there in a while, but I need to go back because earlier this winter I was streaming what was the NWHL All-Star Game. That's the National Women's Hockey League. By the way, the Minnesota Whitecaps are launching a team coming up this winter. They'll be joining the NWHL. I was streaming their All-Star Game, which was taking place at Trier Rink. It's in downtown St. Paul. Really cool rink. It's actually on like the fifth or sixth floor of a skyscraper building, so you get this incredible view of the skyline. Yeah, it's about a 1,000-seat rink. That's where the NWHL did their All-Star game. So after that game, my buddies and I on the crew went to Burger Mo's, and man, those burgers were absolutely delicious. I know they sell those unburgers as well, so if you're a vegetarian and someone who doesn't eat meat, you can certainly have that. But I'm a meat eater myself, and that was one of the best burgers I've ever had, so got to check out Burger Mo's. Have you been there before, Hunter?
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah, really good burgers.
It's a really cool place, too.
Oh,
visually,
totally.
It's really cool.
Yeah, exactly. So check that out. Go to Burger Mo's. Give that a Google. Head over there. It's in downtown St. Paul. Perfect destination if you're at downtown St. Paul, maybe after a Wild game or anything else taking place in the downtown St. Paul area. I suppose we've got a few more months before the Wild starts back up again, and then you can head on down there to Burger Mo's. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. If you have any thoughts on that Eric Paulson-Dean Phillips debate last night, or any of the other congressional races taking place around Minnesota coming up in 2018, that's kind of the theme coming up during most of our show today. We're going to be highlighting some of those close congressional races. It's hard to believe that half of the congressional races in Minnesota are rated as either toss-up or just a barely lean in one direction in terms of Republicans or Democrats. So it's going to be a very expensive fall, and if you have cable TV, get ready to see lots of campaign ads.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Campaign ads, campaign ads, campaign ads. You're going to be sick of all these guys.
Yeah, and we'll be getting them for all districts, no matter where you live.
Yeah.
It won't be targeted because they're going to be pouring so much money into these.
I could tolerate the Democratic ads, just the Republican ads.
Oh, yeah.
It makes me kind of glad I don't have cable anymore. I do the rabbit ears, so I can
watch
me too. TV sometimes, but not a whole lot. But yeah, get ready. You're going to get flooded with tons of ads coming up this fall. Four districts overall rated as being very competitive. It's CD2, CD3, CD1, and CD8. And let's head back to CD3 with that Eric Paulson, Dean Phillips debate. We're talking about that a little bit more because overall, that's the only scheduled debate these two guys are scheduled to have coming up until election time. So one of the other issues that Dean Phillips tried to go after Eric Paulson on was light rail. Of course, we have the Southwest LRT, which is running from Eden Prairie. Kind of goes northwest from, or northeast, I should say, from Eden Prairie up into Minneapolis. It runs along, if you're familiar with that Cedar Lake bike trail, it kind of runs up along that area up into downtown Minneapolis. It's going to be a really good route, I think, for commuters in the Southwest Metro that live and live in the Southwest Metro, but work in downtown Minneapolis. Going to do a lot of good helping them get downtown. Takes cars off the road. Also a great avenue if you're going to a Vikings or a Twins game. So overall, a lot of benefits with this route. I know there's a ton of economic benefits as well in terms of businesses starting up and deciding to invest when this Southwest LRT gets built. Unfortunately, still kind of in that planning stage with lots of controversy, but this is a really big deal with a lot of people that live in the West and the Southwest Metro. In fact, there's a lot of people who normally vote Republican who feel very strongly about this and want to see this light rail line built. In fact, I think it was one of the chambers of commerce down in the area, which normally kind of leans Republican, was actually saying we need to get this built because there's going to be such a huge economic impact. But Eric Paulson, who represents the 3rd District, you would think he would be in favor of this thing. But Dean Phillips tried to pressure him on this issue to come out with a position because Eric Paulson for a while has taken no position. But Mr. Paulson finally did take a position, and let's play what that was here from our audio on the debate.
This is perhaps the one chance we have to generate $1 billion in federal investment in our local community right here in the 3rd District. And Congressman Paulson hasn't taken a position. I would love to know if you favor it or don't favor it.
I'm not a fan of the light rail of the Southwest. Now, we don't advocate for that in Congress. We don't play a role in that because the federal government, as the FTA, will make those decisions. We don't vote on projects like that. That's independently scored.
Yeah, so listen to Eric Paulson. He's kind of trying to avoid the issue by saying it's not a federal issue. But he did say he is 100% pretty much against that light rail issue. And that's something that I think could really hurt him come the general election, because I want to take you back to 2016. In the state Senate, Democrats, of course, lost their majority, but there was one Democrat who was able to unseat an incumbent Republican. Only one Democrat unseated an incumbent Republican, and that happened to be Steve Swadzinski here in the Southwest Metro in Eden Prairie. He knocked off David Hahn, who at the time was the Republican Senate Minority Leader. And if Hahn had defeated Steve Swadzinski, Hahn would actually be the Senate Majority Leader right now, not Paul Gazelka, who is currently the Majority Leader. And what was the one big issue that Steve Swadzinski ran on? Light rail. He tried to get people really on board with this and saying that this is going to have a big economic impact on the Southwest Metro, and that was the main issue he ran on, and he ended up knocking out David Hahn. And if you think about that, that's kind of unbelievable that in a year where Republicans had massive legislative gains, he was the only Democrat to unseat an incumbent Republican. So that could end up coming back to bite Eric Paulson coming up in the fall general election.
Yeah, so I'm very familiar with this because, as we talked about before, I didn't have a car for most of this year and I live in the Southwest Metro. So what the Southwest Metro does have is a phenomenal door-to-door car service called Southwest Prime that for $4 you can get anywhere within their area, which extends from Chaska to Eden Prairie, further than that, but you can get anywhere. But the problem is there's no way to connect to anything in the city. So if there was a light rail, we would have phenomenal transportation down here. But right now we're kind of segregated off because there's no way to connect that way.
It's a really cool service too, because when you were having that car trouble, you were saying, oh, I got here by bus. So I thought, what are you spending like an hour and a half on the bus?
Yeah, no,
like
it's
six
quick.
Different connecting routes. But yeah, you got here quickly in one fell swoop. Really convenient service.
Mm-hmm.
And just imagine if you were able to take that to a light rail station, maybe at the Southwest station here at Eden Prairie, or EP Center, anything like that. You could go downtown.
I know. It's the one thing that is lacking from having phenomenal public transportation out here. So it's an absolute necessity.
And if we finally get that thing built, then we can move on and build other light rail lines. I know the Botineau line, they've been rumoring to try to build that, which runs in that North Metro area. I believe there's also one in the East Metro, kind of in that Woodbury area that they're trying to get built. But we can't even get to any of those light rails until we finish up with Southwest LRT. So,
what's frustrating, too, is I remember when I was a little kid that before Jesse Ventura was even governor, that Democrats were pushing for this, and it was the Republicans that were constantly never letting anything
pass. Empty trains. Remember that argument? Yep. Yeah.
And it's like, by waiting, all these costs have just gone up. Like, we could have been 20 years ahead with this, 20, 30 years ahead.
Yeah, we could have had the Botineau line built already. We could have had that East Metro line built. I think there's one they're also trying to run south, kind of in that Burnsville area. I know they've also wanted to extend the blue line down towards Burnsville, Apple Valley. Man, could you imagine if they expanded that blue line down south of the river, how many people would take that thing?
Mm-hmm. And it's like, so Minnesota had the play for Amazon recently.
Yeah.
You're not going to have companies want to move here unless you have a modern public transportation system that extends to the suburbs, because Minnesota is so heavily suburban.
Yeah, it's all about infrastructure. Yeah, it costs some money. It costs quite a bit of money. I know the light rail costs well over $1 billion, but a lot of that gets paid off through, well, taking cars off the road, reducing traffic, and of course, getting businesses who want to invest back in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. It's an investment into our society.
Definitely, yeah. And it doesn't take as much maintenance as building another road. I mean, there's only so many lanes you can put on 494 and 212
and aren't we sick of the upkeep that those require?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, look at 35W right now. I mean, we're going to rebuild that thing and probably have to take more construction in, what, 2030?
And then the problem is there's no other option.
Yeah.
Because we have to rely on that.
So that's why we need that light rail line built, and Eric Paulson coming out against Southwest LRT. Highlight that issue when you're talking to friends and neighbors if you live in the CD3, because even though that doesn't seem like a very sexy issue, I want to go back to that campaign of Steve Swadzinski versus, at the time, the state Senate majority leader, or state Senate minority leader at the time. He would have been the majority leader if he won, David Hahn. He was the only Republican incumbent in the state legislature to lose in 2016, and he pretty much lost because of Southwest LRT. So if you're talking to friends and neighbors, make sure you highlight that issue. There's one more clip before that, before we go to break, that I want to play from that Eric Paulson, Dean Phillips debate. And it's just a clip that really annoys me because it shows how desperate Eric Paulson is. I mean, normally when he has these debates, he kind of comes off as generic Eric, where he's, I'm every man Minnesota. I'm Mr. Bipartisan. I work across the aisle. And did I mention I co-sponsored a bill with Amy Klobuchar? I don't advocate this, but if you played a drinking game, every time he mentioned he sponsored a bill with Amy Klobuchar, you would be having a rough night.
Yeah, we should cut that up and have every single instance.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Matt plays that up a lot, and it kind of seems absurd. Like, well, he doesn't say it that much, but I listened to that debate, and God, it's like every other sentence was, well, I co-sponsored a bill with Amy Klobuchar. But anyways, he actually did go very negative during this debate, and let's actually play that clip where Paulson tries to take a swipe at Dean Phillips on healthcare. Let's play that clip.
Again, you didn't answer the question on healthcare. If you believe it's a moral right, why didn't you provide it for your employees?
Congress, I do. We do. I've provided healthcare at the entities I've managed for thousands of people. And like all of you who are business owners in the room, you know how hard that is sometimes. At Penny's Coffee, we pay a $15 minimum wage. We have a thoughtful plan available to everybody. But you know how hard it is. And that's why I am in favor of, and that's why I'm advocating, for Medicare to buy into. Why not let people buy into a plan that works, that's easy to understand, that's available to everybody, and by so doing, allows Medicare to negotiate pharmaceutical pricing and reform our care delivery model, which has got to migrate from an incentive that provides money for procedures, not for prevention.
It is a thoughtful solution.
Congressman, I do provide a plan to employees, and I've done so for thousands of people. You make the rules, and we live by them, and I'm trying to do better because I have that experience.
Then you provided it for pennies.
What's that, sir?
After the newspapers caught you, then you provided it for pennies.
Oh, Congressman, I am so unbelievable.
Before that, you did. Let's move on to the issue.
It's just not true. I just want everybody listening and those in the room to understand that, you know, this is why I'm running for Congress. exactly why I'm running for Congress.
Yep.
That just shows how, I think, desperate Eric Paulson is getting in this campaign. He never usually goes that negative when it comes to campaigning in this third congressional district, and he's trying to take that low blow saying, well, you didn't provide health care for your employees. Well, let's actually take Eric Paulson at his word and say that he didn't provide benefits for his employees. That kind of makes Phillips his case, because it's expensive for employers to provide health care. That's why they need that Medicare buy-in. That's why we need government-run, I should say, health insurance, not health care. That's one of the terms that kind of bugs me when people say it's government-run health care. No, it's not government-run health care. It's government-run health insurance. There's a difference between insurance and health care. The health care itself we can still leave in the private sector. It's the insurance, the middleman, that should be run by someone who's a nonprofit and that doesn't have that motive of trying to make money.
Well, it's such a bad argument. I see this made for, like, when people want to provide free public college education, go, well, why don't the professors work for free then, if that's what they believe? It's like, well, no, we're not trying to work within a system where that is the requirement for it. We want to change the system to make this available for everybody.
Yeah.
Because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, so I just found that interesting how Eric Paulson going negative in this campaign awfully early. I think that means he's going to be in some trouble coming up here this fall. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. If you have any thoughts on Dean Phillips and Eric Paulson, again, we'll have Dean Phillips coming up tomorrow here on AM 950. Hunter gets to speak with him, so that'll be a fun interview coming up tomorrow. Make sure you stay tuned for that. And also, quickly want to give credit, that's Mike McEntee at The Uptake, who was able to provide that audio to us. Definitely a big shout-out to Mike, even though he's not hosting a show here on AM 950, still helping out with The Uptake, helping out with that community journalism. You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Hey Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. Catch me live every weeknight from 5 to 8 p.m. right here on AM 950. Whether it's a recap of the day's news, legal analysis, or teaching civics, justice is always served on the Norman Goldman Show. Today on the show, it's double senior legal analyst time, as we've got major double senior legal analyst time action, the Manafort verdict, and Michael Cohen's plea bargain. What's that doing to the White House? Join me live from 5 to 8 p.m. on AM 950.
Do yourself a favor and check out the amazing cuisine of eatlocalminnesota.com. More than just a website, eatlocalminnesota.com provides you with the best local and independently owned restaurants in the Twin Cities. The award-winning Hazel's Northeast combines the feel of a small-town diner with the vibrant nature of its Northeast Minneapolis neighborhood. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, weekend brunch, or dinner, their classically inspired and creatively prepared American comfort food is always made from scratch. Hazel's Northeast at 29th and Johnson in Northeast Minneapolis. EatLocalMinnesota.com. The dedicated staff at Nightingale Restaurant take pride in presenting a thoughtful and delicious approach to food and drink, whether you're visiting for dinner, happy hour, or brunch. Their focus on made-from-scratch meals using sustainable and local ingredients is likely to make Nightingale your go-to spot for inspired food and drinks. Nightingale, Lindale and 26th in Minneapolis.
Have you ever wondered what it was like to be an artist in the Soviet Union? I'm Vladimir von Surikov, director of the Museum of Russian Art, and I invite you to explore our exhibition Art in Conflict, running through September 1st. and juxtaposes Soviet socialist realist against nonconformist artists from the latter decades of the Cold War. This is a rare chance to see connections and conflicts inside the Soviet art world. For more information, visit tmora.org.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Today, sunny with a high near 80. Tonight, clear with a low around 54. And Thursday, increasing clouds with a high near 79. This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Burger Mo's. Located in downtown St. Paul, Burger Mo's is the perfect neighborhood gathering spot before and after XL Energy events. They have two happy hours and more than 60 beers on tap. Located at 242 West 7th Street, St. Paul, with plenty of free parking. Find out more at BurgerMo's.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's Brett Johnson and Hunter Haas filling in for Matt McNeil. Get used to us. You're stuck with Hunter and I for, what is it, the next 5 days? I mean, today you're stuck with me. Tomorrow you got Hunter from 4 until 5 p.m. filling in for Doug Padgett. I'm back on Friday and Monday. Then Tuesday you have a show planned. So,
wow.
A lot of us.
A lot of us.
Yeah. Huh? Hopefully you're enjoying it. If not, well, I can't do anything for you. Sorry. So we've been talking about congressional elections here in Minnesota. We've been highlighting the Eric Paulson-Dean Phillips debate, the only debate they have scheduled. We played some audio back. And again, thanks to Mike McEntee at The Uptake for providing that audio. He streamed that yesterday. If you missed any of it, go to our Facebook page and you can find the live audio and video from that debate yesterday that took place between Phillips and Paulson. Heading over east and south in the metro area, another race that started to heat up is the Angie Craig versus Jason Lewis debate. Well, they haven't had any debates scheduled yet, and that's actually what I want to talk about. This race has kind of taken an unusual turn. Normally, when you have a congressional race and you have one candidate calling for debates, it's usually the underdog challenger trying to go after the incumbent saying, debate me, I challenge you to 3, 6, 10 debates. But this one is a little bit different. It's actually Jason Lewis who is challenging Angie Craig to 3 debates. And that strikes me as kind of interesting because that's the incumbent congressman challenging the challenger to debates. That's not something you see often in politics. And Hunter, you were saying maybe he's doing that because Jason Lewis is a former talk radio host and is more comfortable in that format.
Well, that is what I suspect, is that it's not an attempt at an honest debate of ideas, but rather he's a master of sound bites and is able to flip this and be able to put out a ton of edited content where you don't get the context of what happened, but it makes him look good and her bad.
Yeah, and at the surface, this looks like a reasonable proposal that he's making towards Angie Craig, but I'm sure if they were to go into the details and actually go with Jason Lewis's proposal, I'm sure there would be, yeah, all sorts of things in there where he would just be trying to get sound bites. He's challenged her to 3 debates, and he's hoping he responds to that, but I'm sure they are going to debate. In fact, I think they have one coming up on Almanac later in September and October, so they are going to debate at least once, probably twice, since that is going to be a very competitive race, but just found that interesting that it's actually the incumbent and not the challenger that wants to debate, something highly unusual, and I think it speaks to the fact that Jason Lewis is in big trouble coming up this fall. In fact, I'm a political nerd, so I always look at this 538 House Congressional Forecast. They just released it earlier this week, and I'm such a nerd, I'm refreshing that every day because they actually put the odds at whether Democrats and Republicans are going to control the House. It started off as a 75% chance earlier this week that the Dems would get the House. Now it's only down to 69%. So
it's going down, huh?
Down a little bit, but still a pretty good chance that Dems are going to win the House. But they actually go through race by race and give the percentage odds on who has a chance at winning each race. And they're putting Angie Craig, I believe, at a 75% chance of beating Jason Lewis. Boy, I'm getting them mixed up. They're kind of the same, aren't they?
Yeah, it's understandable.
Yeah, yeah. But he has Angie Craig, a 75% chance of knocking off Angie Craig. By the way, in CD3, they're actually giving Dean Phillips a 2-to-1 chance at beating Eric Paulson, a 66 to a 34% chance. So found that interesting there in that aspect. But also wanted to bring up with the Angie Craig campaign, we've seen our first TV ad in that campaign. Angie Craig released a TV ad, which you'll probably see coming up on your TV stations, and I'm not really quite sure what to think about this one. Give it a listen, and we'll share our opinions coming up on that.
Mom raised three of us, all on our own. When we couldn't afford health insurance, the bills piled up. I worked two jobs to put myself through state college. And now, Cheryl and I are lucky enough to help these guys get through school. I'm Angie Craig. For too many today, hard work just isn't enough to get ahead. And Washington's too broken to fix it. That's gotta change. I'm Angie Craig, and I approve this message because I'll fight like hell to give everyone a fair shot.
I don't know. When I heard that ad, I mean, she makes some good points. I guess it is her first ad of the campaign season, but I don't know about you, Hunter. That just doesn't quite feel like it's going to motivate a lot of voters to go out and vote for her. What do you think?
Well, I saw this last night, and what stood out to me was that she said hell in it.
Yeah, I kind of did too. Yeah.
That was I was pretty much zoned out, and then that stood out to me. I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, you don't often hear that in campaign ads. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's her first campaign ad of the season. I hope she does a little bit more to go after Jason Lewis's record of pretty much being on board with supporting Trump all the time. And unlike Eric Paulson, he embraces the fact that he loves Donald Trump. So I hope she definitely goes after that issue a little bit more coming up in campaign ads. But as a first ad of the campaign season, I guess I give this one kind of an okay grade.
But okay, I remember in 2016, all of her ads were just attacking Jason Lewis and trying to use radio clips against him. So I believe she's trying to take a different take on this and promote herself more.
Yeah, that's a good point to bring up. But I think you got to try to tie these candidates to Donald Trump with how unpopular he is, and I think how unpopular he will become in light of these Manafort and Cohen cases and also tariffs. And I also have the feeling that we're probably going to see an economic downturn, unfortunately, in the next few months. So I think it'd be a smart strategy to try to tie him to Donald Trump as much as you can. But yeah, I kind of get your point. She tried doing that in 2016 and didn't have a lot of success. Although I will point out in that campaign, she would have won if it had not been for the third-party independent candidate who took a lot of her votes away.
I didn't even remember that.
Yeah, the independent, I think, ended up with like 5 or 6% of the vote. And that ended up costing Angie Craig the election. And I believe this fall she is not facing a third-party challenger. So that could certainly have an impact as well. So I kind of get what you're saying, but I still think you got to try to tie Jason Lewis to Donald Trump as much as you can.
Yeah, and make that clear to people, because a lot of people are going to be voting on who stands with Trump and who doesn't.
So that's at least my thoughts on that first campaign ad. Again, it's only the first one of the season. I'm sure she'll probably have some different one outs that will try to attack Jason Lewis a little bit more. If you have thoughts on that, or Dean Phillips and Eric Paulson, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's Brett Johnson and Hunter Haas filling in for Matt McNeil on your Wednesday afternoon. And coming up on the other side of the break, you probably have picked this up, but Hunter and I are technically millennials. And we have a little bit of a bone to pick with, baby boomers. That's coming up next. A little controversy here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Matt from the Green Home Doctors. Do your ceilings show signs of unwanted moisture? Is your home warmer than you want? This means your insulation needs a tune-up and you're leaking expensive air conditioning in the summer. Green Home Doctors analyze your home with specialized equipment and prescribe a remedy that will save you money and save you energy, no matter what the season. Take advantage of rebates from Xcel Energy and CenterPoint Energy and make your home healthier today. Visit greenhomedr.com.
Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
It's grilling season, and Vinaigrette has some sizzling recipes to inspire you. How about summertime grilled fajitas? Just create a marinade with our golden balsamic or champagne vinegar and chili garlic or jalapeno olive oil and marinade beef or chicken. Add red onions, red, green, and yellow peppers and throw them on the grill. Or try grilled steak brushed with our truffle or garlic olive oil. Visit us at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior or online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hi, this is Charlie. My dad is Minnesota's wildly popular and handsome radio host, Matt McNeil. Did I say that right, Dad?
Perfect!
When I got my driver's license, my parents let me drive a Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. I love it. It's easy, comfortable, and hauls all my baseball gear. And my parents love the safety. That's why they wanted me in the Sienna.
Thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota, my son is safe as he begins his driving adventure. We're a two Sienna family thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota. Visit them today in Golden Valley at 169 and 394.
When is the last time you had the outside of your windows clean? Cleaning your windows gives you brighter natural light in your home. Don't waste the summer sun and brighten your home's quality of light coming through those windows with Blue Sky Services. Get your windows washed before the fall rush. Blue Sky Services' final sale before fall is this month only, where you can get 25 window panes washed inside and out for only $129. Call 651-447-4484. That's Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484.
The State Fair has always been full of treats. From corn dogs to cheese curds to anything on a stick, now you can add a new furnace and air conditioner to that list. Announcing Standard Heating and Air Conditioning State Fair Sale. Get a new air conditioner for just $2,500 when you install a new high-efficiency furnace by September 3rd. Discover more about how you can take advantage of Standard State Fair Sale at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Brett and Hunter filling in for Matt McNeil, who is back in studio 1 week from today. He is off at an undisclosed location on assignment doing undisclosed things. That actually just made it sound really bad about what Matt's doing, but he's on assignment right now, maybe investigating Donald Trump, maybe shadowing Paul Manafort. He's doing something, but Matt is out doing productive activities, and he'll be back coming up next Wednesday here on AM 950 again. I still got to give him a hard time. He was supposed to call in today on his own show, and he bailed on us. He had better things to do. So hopefully Matt will call into his own show coming up Friday or Monday here on AM 950. So, all right, we got to do a little controversy here, Hunter. You and I are both millennials.
Mm-hmm. Bring this on.
Bring it on, yep. And we got to go after baby boomers a little bit here. Uh-oh. Where are we going with this? Well, the premise of this is what I just saw from Bloomberg. Apparently, Generation Z will comprise 32% of the global population, I should say, in 2019, nudging ahead of millennials, who account for just 31.5% of the population. And that's according to Bloomberg, as they've analyzed some United Nations data. And they've basically used 2000 and 2001 as being that generational split between millennials and Generation Z. Millennials, of course, being people who are born from, what is it, roughly the early 80s through about the year 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Generation Z being anyone who was born after kind of that 2000-2001 time frame. So if you're a millennial and you're not happy about what's happening in politics, get out and vote. You are going to outnumber baby boomers within a few years. Get out and vote. That's how you change things. But I did want to talk about how there is a stereotype that us millennials, we don't work at all. We just sit at home all day and complain, don't we, Hunter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all we do. We just sit at home and complain.
Or complain on air.
Yeah, yeah. You and I, when we fill in at 3 o'clock, we don't arrive till 2:45. We do this show. I'm done at 4:15. I'm done for the day. You're done at 5:15. We work our 2 hours a day, and we're done. That's all we do. And we just go home and complain about anything.
Yeah, so let's hear this. I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, yeah. So this thing is a little out of date. It's from last month, but as you and I were talking about a possible podcast we could be doing here on AM 950 about millennial issues, this got me back to something I saw last month at a minor league baseball team in Alabama. They set up a promotion called Millennial Night. And it's important to note, they're not the only minor league or the first minor league baseball team that's done this. We've had several minor league baseball teams that do these quirky, different events, and a lot of them have picked up on this Millennial Night. And here is their promotion they ran. Do you want free things without doing much work? Well, you're in luck. Riverwalk Stadium will be millennial-friendly coming up on Saturday, July 21st with a participation ribbon giveaway just for showing up, napping, and selfie stations, along with, of course, lots of avocados. That is their promo. And you have some thoughts on this, but my original thought is you're a minor league baseball team. Most baseball fans are people who are over the age of 50 or 60, and you're trying to alienate your next generation of fans.
Yeah, and all your players are millennials.
Yeah, your players are millennials too, but you have some thoughts on this as well about how, why do people just have that stereotype of people like us who just eat avocados and don't work?
So first of all, the trophies. I want to bring that up. We were kids. We never wanted these trophies to begin with. It was the parents who created these achievements to fill their own sense of pride. And then the avocados. So avocado toast is the reason they say that millennials are so poor and can't afford things, why they live at home, because they spend too much money on avocado toast. Avocados cost $1.25 and toast is toast. We're talking about a fruit and two pieces of bread, and that's what they claim is why we're poor. Not that we have all these, we inherit a society in shambles from these generations, but that we're spending our money on fruit toast.
That's exactly the reason why people are defaulting on their student loans. It's because they're spending too much money on avocado toast. I just can't believe it. What are you doing as a minor league baseball team trying to alienate millennials? I mean, I get they're trying to do this as mostly a joke, but it's not a good look when the aging population of baseball fans is all over the age of 50 and 60. You need to draw in new fans. And I'd actually be a little bit more comfortable with this Millennial Night if they did Baby Boomer Night as well, where, oh, maybe baby boomers would have to, could get in for paying a higher price than millennials, since, of course, we've had to pay a higher price for college than baby boomers did. That's at least my thoughts on that. One more thing I want to talk about. I know we're a political talk station, but I want to go to sports for just 1 second because, unfortunately, Lindsey Whalen played in her last professional WNBA game last night when the Minnesota Lynx lost to the LA Sparks 82-75. Man, I watched the end of that game, and they could not hit a shot in that fourth quarter. But Lindsey Whalen is done as a player. And my question to you, Hunter, we only got about a minute left in the show.
Yep.
Should she be on the Mount Rushmore of Minnesota athletes?
I think so, because we have a unique place with women's basketball here in Minnesota, and she has been so pivotal in Minnesota before she was professional even. I mean, I remember when I was young seeing news stories about her. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she's had a tremendous impact, and she's paved a way for a sport that has always kind of struggled but here found a place.
I think she's had such a huge impact on Minnesota sports, and I'd agree she'd be on that Mount Rushmore of Minnesota athletes, probably with Kirby Puckett, Fran Tarkenton, I'm trying to think of whoever else. But, yeah, I go back to that Final Four run that the Gophers had back in, 2003 or so, and we were actually on vacation, my family. I was in high school at this point, and we were at vacation in Arizona with some relatives, and we were saying, hey, we want to tune into the Final Four, and our relatives were looking at us like, you're crazy. Why do you want to watch the women's Final Four? But I think that really talks about how big fans were into Lindsey Whalen and that Gopher women's basketball team. So sad to say she is unfortunately retired from professional basketball as the Lynx were eliminated last night by the LA Sparks in the playoffs. But we'll get to see more Lindsey Whalen as she'll be the new head coach of the Gopher women's basketball team coming up for this winter. Thanks for tuning in today. Brett and Hunter filling in. Doug Padgett up next.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
Kirk Duckwall and Chad Vandalot with Bricks Real Estate bring you the House Geeks Real Estate Show, Sundays starting at noon here on AM 950.
Each week, the House Geeks will discuss the latest in the Twin Cities real estate market, along with bringing you great guests covering everything from plumbing to gardening. You can also check them out online anytime at housegeeks.com. The House Geeks, the smarter way to buy and sell homes.
I'm standing up for the middle class. Tom Hartman here on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950, KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Hawaii braces for Lane. I'm Evan Hanning. President Trump is disputing his former attorney Michael Cohen's guilty plea that Cohen knowingly violated federal campaign finance law at Donald Trump's direction. The president tells Fox News he only knew about Cohen's hush money payments to two women who alleged they'd had affairs with Trump later on